Well, today we're going to continue our study on perseverance. Last week we looked at Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 12. And today we're going to continue our study in Romans 5, laying the foundation once again. And I'm going to read in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And for those that were here in the sanctuary just a few moments ago, that's exactly what we preached. He says in verse 2, "Through whom we also have access by faith into this grace." Now last week I taught on the state of grace. And the state of grace is when you have been blessed to hear the Holy Gospel, enabled by Christ to have that privilege to hear it, and enabled to Christ to have the opportunity to use the volition of your will to say, "Yes, I believe." Amen. And through that, God accepts your confidence or your faith in His Son and redeems you before a holy God. It's by the confession of the mouth and the belief of the heart that a man is saved. And it's God's work from beginning to end. And so that initiates the dispensation or the state of grace. And that continues until the Lord decides that it's your time to come home. He promises during this time that we call a lifetime that there will be valleys and that there will be joys, that there will be sufferings, that there will be tribulations. And He teaches us here that tribulation produces perseverance. And last week we spent a lot of time just in Romans 5, here in these few passages. We're going to continue on today. Let me read it just for the sake of good foundation. In Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 2, "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." A few moments ago, I said, you must understand where your hope comes from and why you have access to such a hope and what creates such a hope. It's your belief in the salvation work of Christ, in His work on the cross, in His work in redemption for you. Understanding that it was Him that went to the cross. It was Him that gave His life. It was His blood. It was His power over death. Amen. That you are able to trust that the same God who died on the cross was the same God who rose from the tomb, is the same God who's going to call you out of the grave. In this hope, we stand. Amen. It's only by grace that you're able to be empowered to have such a confidence. Amen. It's God's grace empowering you to have such a faith that comes from true belief. By grace you have been saved through faith. So in this we stand. It says in verse 3, he says, "And not only that, but we also..." Now listen closely, because this has a lot to do with perseverance. He says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." That's very hard to understand until you get a little farther down the road studying the life of Christ and His relationship with the Father and Him ultimately being the author of your salvation. He was perfected. Christ was perfected through His suffering. It says that not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now a part of standing in grace is knowing that the seal the seal of God, He is otherwise known as the Holy Spirit of God, has been given to you as a deposit from the Father, saying that I am going to redeem you. I am coming back for you. I am taking you. I will not leave my Holy Spirit on the earth.
Amen.
See, the Holy Spirit is abiding. He's abiding in the church. He's abiding in the true believer. And He, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the divine Holy Godhead, is God's seal to you, giving you confidence that God is in you.
Amen.
That God is with you. That it was His Son that died for you. And there's no greater love than that. So God's love has been displayed. He has shown us that He loves us through offering His Son for our redemption. But He's also shown His love for us by depositing Himself in you.
Amen.
See, your life and soul and spirit was sanctified through the cross and through your belief and faith in Christ. And then the Holy Spirit came. And so what I'm saying is, during difficult times, and we all have them. Yes?
Yes.
During tribulation, we all have them. It is a necessity, a discipline, that you must remember that God has authored your salvation. He chose you. He is with you. In fact, this word says that He is in you and that His love has been poured into your heart by His Holy Spirit. Just the gift of the Holy Spirit is a demonstration of the love of God. The gift of Christ is a demonstration of the love of God. Him choosing to abide in you is a demonstration of His love for you and should create confidence, bold confidence, that God is not going to ever leave you.
Amen.
And He's not going to ever forsake you.
No.
And with that confidence, you must hear Him when He says, do not grow weary in well-doing. For if you will stand, then you too shall reap if you faint not. So church, faint not.
Yes.
Be strong in the might of God. Take privilege in the privilege to sow and to know. Catch that. Take privilege to sow and to know the one who has called you is faithful.
Amen.
The law of the harvest is in place. You shall reap whatever you have sown. In this life and in the next, you shall reap whatsoever you sow.
Amen.
So we have this confidence. We also, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, teaches us that we've also been qualified. Now, I want you to hear this passage in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians, let me begin in verse 1. Are you there with me? I'm in Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. This is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother. Did you hear how he started out? Paul knew who he was in Jesus. He also knew that he had been called out. He had been called out by Christ. You and I have been called out from among the world.
Amen.
We have been called by God Almighty out of the world.
Thank you,
Lord. You need to understand who you are.
Yes.
You are not common. In fact, you're very uncommon. In fact, you're peculiar. God said that you being called out by Him makes you special. That means that He is sanctifying you. And the first call from God is repent. The second call is hear. The third is believe. And then the sanctification goes on and on and on. One great call to the next great call to the next great commission. And so there's a work going on, and Paul knew it. He understood that he was called. He understood his identity. And unless you know who you are on earth, and that you've been assigned to sow and privileged to know, you will grow weary unjustly.
Amen.
Do not do that. Know that God, who is faithful, gives reward justly. He will reward you for your faithful service.
Amen.
Not that He should, but He will.
Amen.
Because His Word says He will. Here it is. He says to the saints and to the faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, in verse 2, it says, "Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ." We give thanks to God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He says, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and all of your love for all the saints." There's a pattern here. Paul knew who he was. And Paul recognized that the one thing that was going to bring people through was their love for each other.
Amen.
Saints, we have been called to love people.
Yes.
And some people are hard to love. But even the unbeliever loves who loves him. You have not been called just to love the one who loves you. You've been called to love them even if they persecute you. The Bible says, "Bless them who persecute you. Give food and drink to your enemy." In verse 3, he says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and all of your love for all the saints, because of the hope." Here it is. "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Did I not say just a moment ago that you must understand where your hope come from and where your hope is taking you?
Amen.
So what is your hope set on? It is set on the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Amen.
The arrival unto the abode of God, otherwise known as heaven, where King Jesus rules and reigns. It has no light except the light from which is coming from him. And he says, "Well done, welcome my child. Welcome into the abode of God."
Amen.
He says in verse 5, he goes, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth," before in the word of truth of the gospel. In other words, you cannot have hope until you believe the gospel.
Amen.
Because it's the belief of the gospel that creates the hope.
Amen.
Because without the gospel, there is no salvation. And it's because of your salvation, in the end of your salvation, you have hope.
Yes.
Hope in Christ.
Amen.
He says in verse 6, "Which has come to you as it has also in the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth." And he says, "As you also learned from Epaphras and our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." I went to a wedding in India, and the minister said, "There's a few things I want to tell the wedding party. I want to die faithful to God. I want to die faithful to the church. And I want to die faithful to my wife, who's a man of God." Be faithful. Your work will surely be rewarded. He says here, "As you also learned," and it says, dear, "our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and in all understanding." Now, one of the disciplines that will help you remain faithful in times of tribulation, which produces, catch it, tribulation is before perseverance. One of the disciplines is that you must be constant in prayer. Constant, constant, constant in prayer. "In this, you will subject yourself to the presence of the Holy Spirit, to the counsel of His Word, and to the wisdom of God that comes by asking." In other words, prayer is a form of communication that God allows humans to request things. Prayer is also a media in which we communicate things. Mm-hmm. We communicate our thanksgiving through prayer. We communicate our request through prayer. We communicate our needs through prayer. And so what I'm saying is, in times of tribulation, one discipline that you must not forsake for anything, in fact, more than anything else, pray. Amen. Be faithful and cease not in prayer. Amen. In fact, it is a direct command in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Catch it. Here in verse 10, he says, or verse 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and in all spiritual understanding." I can assure you that God wants us to understand why we have what we have. If you have faith, it is because of grace. If you have a family, it's because of the love of God for you. If you have understanding of who Christ is, it's because of the love of God wanting to have fellowship with you.
Amen.
And so knowing that all these things, the knowledge of the Spirit, the knowledge of the Word, the fellowship you have in the church, the fellowship you have with your family, are all grace displayed, comfort from God. Comfort from God. It says, now why is that? Why does that understand? Why is it so critical? Because He wants you to walk worthy. He does not want you walking blindly. He wants you to walk with understanding given by the Spirit. Here it is in verse 10. He says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, as I said last week, there was a man named Nehemiah. He was challenged. He went and he saw the tragic condition of the gates of the old city of Jerusalem. He wept. Nehemiah was weeping over the condition of the place that was called the apple of God's eye, Jerusalem. And he was resisted, even though he had the blessing of the king. There's a unique model here. You have Nehemiah, the ambassador. He was an ambassador. Who was he an ambassador for? Was he doing the work of God? Yes. Who gave him permission to leave the king's chambers? The king. Who gave him the letters to get access through many cities and provinces? The king. Who gave him the wood to rebuild the city? The king. Who gave him term limit? The king. You too have been given commission. You too have been given provision. You too have been given a term limit. You too have been given a city to work in. You too are called to rebuild. You too are called to pray without ceasing. And you too shall be brought into tribulation. Nehemiah was brought into tribulation. There's something you can learn about Nehemiah. He understood that he was an ambassador for a king. But he understood that he was doing the work of God.
Amen.
God brought Christ. Christ commissioned the disciples. And he sent them out and he told them, "Now you go in my name." Nehemiah left the king's chambers with a blessing. He left there with a term limit. He left there with a provision. He left there with an endorsement. He left there as an ambassador for the king. And he carried it out with due diligence. Was he carefree? No. In fact, all of every kind of trouble that could come came. Deception came to him. Resistance came to him. Lies told on him. Stories behind his back trying to overcome him. Nehemiah went through, saints.
He sure did.
One thing that carried Nehemiah through was his willingness to shout. And to let God know that it was impossible for the work to be done without His intervention, without His protection, without His help. We too have the same. Listen to what it says. In verse 10, God can strengthen your hands. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, verse 11, here it is. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. For, catch it, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Catch it, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. How fitting we just took communion. How neatly fit the Word of God. How neatly fit. It's like apples of gold and setting of silver. How neatly fit the Word of God. Now, what I want to show to you is that God is willing to give you power to bring you through tribulation. Many of us have experienced it. Many of us have been laid sick on the sick bed, and God brought us through. Many of us have suffered things that are unspeakable. God brought us through. This journey has an end. It's called death in the grave. But God said that you shall live even though you die. You shall live if you believe in Me, because He said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
And he who believes in Me, even he will live even though he dies. See, it's the power of God that says no to death and yes to life.
Amen.
It's the power and willingness of God to strengthen you when you can't get out of bed, to strengthen you when your bones hurt, to comfort you in times of tribulation. When the family says no, God says yes. Yes. When the family says, I don't know you, God says, I love you. When your brother says, I don't know you, God says, come here, let Me warm you.
Amen.
That's the kind of compassionate Savior that you have. You are not alone. You will never be alone. You're not without strength because you have Him.
Amen.
Yes. In which all power rests in Him.
Yes.
For by Him all things were created. Now that leads me to verse 15, Colossians 1:15. He says, He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him. All things were created through Him and for Him. Saints, in order for you to go through tribulation, you must know who you are and whose you are.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. If you don't catch it, that you belong to God, you will falter in times of tribulation. You will grow weak and weary. You will dry up like a prune. You will produce nothing. Idleness. Depression. All these things. Because you must know whose you are. And you must know who He declared you to be. The Bible promises that you're a child of God. The Bible promises that you're an ambassador for Christ. God promises that you're in a journey and that He's going to take you from earth to heaven.
Amen.
In this we rejoice.
Yes.
The God who called you out of darkness, placed you into His Son, into the kingdom of light, has power to finish what He started in you. And it comes by faith. It comes through the love of God, the strength of God, the power of God. And that, my beloved, comes to you through prayer. It comes to you through belief. It comes to you through blind obedience. Obey, come what may. Let God be God. Obey, come what may, let God be God. Turn not back from the call of the Lord. Turn not back from tribulation, for through it, perseverance will come, and then character, and then hope. God is building an army of people who know Him and that who do not see this life the way others do. This is just a journey. You are a foreigner on this earth. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You are a member of the royal priesthood. You are a member of the family of God. You are the member of the body of Christ, the one true church. You are the adopted into the kingdom. You are the redeemed in the Lord. You are born by the Spirit. You are the one who has already been set free from death in the grave through the resurrection of Christ.
Amen.
That's who you are.
Yes.
And God said it.
Thank you,
I'm just declaring it.
Amen.
You be encouraged, saints.
Thank you, Father.
That you can receive strength according to His power upon request. You must not grow weary. God will have none of it. For there's no reason for it. Assurance is something that is needed. We've talked about being constant in prayer. We've talked about the necessity of asking for strength. We've talked about knowing where you are and where you're going and whose you are. We've talked about knowing your identity in Christ. These are all disciplines that bring you through, saints. They bring you through. One thing is so important, and I read it out of the book of Colossians. He says in verse 9, catch it, this is key to bringing someone through tribulation. Is this, he says, the apostle said in verse 9, Colossians 1, 9, for this reason we, catch that, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. Saints, you've got to catch this. You need intercessors. You need two kinds of people in your life. You need people who will pray for what you do. You need people who love you just because of who you are. I've got both in my life, and I'm telling you, some wise men and women taught me that I need two kinds of people. Brother Scott, you need two kinds of people. You need people that love soul winners, but you need somebody in your life that loves you, that's concerned whether or not the tread on your shoes is in good shape, whether or not you've got food in the refrigerator, whether or not your furnace is working, whether or not you've got good clothes, whether or not your kids are safe. You need two kinds of people. The apostle said right here, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and all spiritual understanding. This is so important, saints. Let me tell you something. You cannot get through alone.
Amen.
You need encouragement. You need to call on the Lord and His people for encouragement. Encouragement does not come alone. It does not come by yourself. Encouragement will come. God uses people.
Amen.
He uses people. Sometimes it's a warm hug. Sometimes it's just a smile. Sometimes it's a helping hand. Sometimes it's a rescue. But I want you to know that God uses His church in such a way, and if you isolate yourself, you're going to have a tough day in times of tribulation.
Yes, amen.
It's so important to understand that God has built His body in such a way that we need each other's strengths. We need each other's gifts. We need each other's ministries. We need each other's wisdoms and experiences. Saints, you can't do it alone. Come on. Don't think you can, because you are soon to fall. Assurance is another discipline that it's a truth, really. It's an experience. It's a part of your life. It's a part of our faith, having assurance that God is the author of your faith. See, I said that you enter the state of grace by faith. Amen? It's God has said that the Gentiles will be justified by faith. Right? And if you belong to Christ, then you belong to Abraham. And you become His seed by faith in Christ. Yes? So by faith we pursue. By faith we pray. By faith we sow. By faith we journey. By faith we go through. By faith you walk. And faith does not require sight of what you're hoping for. In fact, it is of no count that way.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 through 15. Bear with me here. I'm going to read Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. In other words, I'm talking to the learned here. I'm talking to the believing community here. I'm talking to the men and women of faith. The men and women have known with Christ, known and been with Christ for many days. The Lord knows that it is by spiritual milk, the word of God, that thereby you grow. Some growth is spawned through tribulation. God wants you to persevere. And in order to do that, you must be standing on the foundation. The foundation principles of the gospel. He talks about it here in Hebrews 6. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, I said just a few moments ago that Christ, the Bible says that he was perfected through sufferings. And therefore, his cry was heard on high because of his reverent fear and his unwavered obedience even unto death on the cross. Christ himself was perfected through suffering. Catch it here. He said, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And he says, in this we will do if God permits. For in verse 4 it says, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. He says, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified, they crucify again for themselves the Son of God, and to put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it, and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But he says in verse 9, speaking to the faithful, he says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner. Now catch it. Here it is. Verse 10. Look here with me. Hebrews 6:10. With me. For God is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. There it is. He is not unjust to forget. God does not ever forget.
Amen.
It says in verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. There it is. Catch it. The same, say that word with me, diligence. To the full assurance of hope until the end. So there it is. Persevering in diligence. Persevering in ministering to the saints. Catch that. Persevering in what? Persevering in ministering to the saints. Persevering in prayer. Persevering in belief. Persevering in ministries of helps. Persevering in ministries of intercession. Persevering in ministries of good works.
Amen.
Persevering in. He says, for when God made... here it is, in verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. That you... Now catch it, verse 12. Boy, this is for me. Because I can tell you I'm a weary soul lately. Verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He says, for when God made a promise to Abram, we just learned about him, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you. Multiplying and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured Abraham, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the immutability, the unchanging, immutability means unchanging, of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. In other words, when God said it, and he swore by his own name, that is surety by definition. And I said that assurance, catch it, assurance, meaning you have full confidence that God will do what he said.
Amen.
That he will bring you through this journey in the state of grace, and so that the assurance of this hope that you have will not be disappointed. It will surely have its reward. You entering the abode of God with Christ Jesus saying, welcome, my daughter. Welcome, my son. Well done. Take your inheritance that was created for you before the foundation of the world. That, my beloved, is what you set your hope on. Not on the performance of men, or the lack thereof, or men. Fear no man, but fear God.
Yes.
Put confidence in no man, but confidence in God.
Yes.
Who has the power to see it through. He says, he's in verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Catch it. Refuge. Take refuge that God is bringing you. Take refuge that you did not choose him. He chose you.
Amen.
Take refuge that he does nothing without plan. Take refuge that you are in his plan. Take refuge that God is going to move you from heaven, from earth to heaven, and he is going to do that by his strength.
Amen.
Take refuge. In verse 19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Saints, the Bible teaches that the Israelites, when they turn to the Lord, a veil is lifted.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
A veil is lifted. Catch it. This hope, we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered before us. He's talking about the most holy place. Jesus having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Saints, confidence in knowing that you have a Savior who gave all. You have a Savior who showed his power over death through the resurrection. You have a Savior who's entered into the most holy place in front of you. You have a Savior who's taken a seat at the right hand of God, who remains the eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You have a Savior who's going to come for you, and you're going to hear his voice. And the Bible promises in St. John chapter 5, verse 28-29, it says, all those in their grave shall hear his voice and come out. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Thanks for letting me share.